everybody. Happy New Year. And welcome to the first episode of Flagrant 2, analysis by assholes, no easy buckets of the 2018.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to be back.
Yes, sir.
I'm exhausted. I just got on a flight this morning at 6:30 a.m. To come in here from Canada to record this for you people because I care about you people. And it was imperative that I got here on time.
And what are you getting at, sir?
I did everything I possibly could to get here on time from another country. I came from a sovereign nation, and you know, I passed border control.
Yeah.
You know, and I did it. I flew into LaGuardia. Have you guys flown into LaGuardia?
Yeah, it's right a bus stop. House.
Wow. Yeah. So you have
it's
to
a Greyhound station.
Exactly. Yeah. It's horrible. It's absolutely. So you have to, which is so shocking that I made it here on time, because when you fly here to LaGuardia, you have to get off and you can't just get an Uber pickup. You have to take a bus to an Uber section.
Yeah.
Then you get your Uber from that section, and then, you know, you come in.
Right. Yeah.
I've crossed multiple boroughs. I was in Queens today, Brooklyn, and Manhattan. And then I got here. And what was so weird when I got here was neither of you guys were here. And I was like, how is that possible since you guys are a stone throw away?
I don't know why we started demanding punctuality in this podcast. This is the first week. It's a big deal.
This is true. This is true. We're still kind of working out the kinks, but
I know I've been the first one here. I've been locked out of the room, and I've never been like, oh, I just think it's funny how you guys
when
are.
Has Akash ever been the first one here? And Akash pulled the classic late shit where he tried to be like a good Samaritan.
He's like, oh, you guys want some food?
Motherfucker, 20 minutes late, he sends a text. Y'all hungry? You want some food? You want some drinks? No, no, we want you to get 15 minutes less
that
sleep.
That was my way That's to gauge what we want. If you guys were there. I thought Kaz might be like, nah, I'll just scoop something on the way, and then I'd be like, I bet.
He could have just asked. That's why he could have just asked. No, he was trying to manipulate us into liking him. Like, you thought that
you already like me.
I mean, all right.
I just didn't want to say how late I was.
I like you in 2017. You got clean slate. So far, you fucking up in 2018.
To be fair, this only like just lets you know how shitty the MTA is, because I left on time. Like, right. I left around like 8:39.
I know.
And like, we got to Grand Central and we just sat there for like 20 minutes.
No
so
way.
Like, yeah, just terrible. I guess they said someone was sick on Bowling Green or whatever.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, that's the MTA. Anybody who's listening to this from New York could attest. So, yes.
Hold on. There was a guy who was just sick. He was just
they were like,
feeling
bad. There's a sick passenger on the Bowling Green station, and sorry for any inconvenience. So, yes, you can beat somebody from another country to here instead of going from Harlem to Lower Manhattan.
God bless.
Yeah.
God bless.
God bless the MTA, man.
I hope that guy feels better, man. I really
sure
hope
is.
That.
I hope it's just the runs or something. Not serious.
You know what? I would love the runs. I haven't taken a solid shit since I came back from Israel. It's a
really?
Big problem. Yeah. And Akash can attest to this. That's how I know I'm not Jewish. It was like my body punishing me or something like that. Akash and I live together. How often do I shit?
It's like 10 minutes after you eat. It's a medical marvel.
It is a irregularity.
But that's good, though. You want to be able to shit consistently, Nora.
Yeah, but now he's been robbed of that.
Never wanted anything more. They say when you go to Jerusalem, right, that like you leave a part of you there. And I left my Billy takes shits because I literally have not taken a solid shit, I swear to God, in my life since 3 days into my trip to Israel, right?
Yeah.
I've come back, haven't had a solid shit. I had an offer on a table to go to this girl's house.
In Jerusalem?
No. Definitely not. I didn't get laid at all.
Not
at all. There's no way I'm getting
going down like that in Israel.
First of all, Jewish chicks out there, like Israeli chick, they only want to like sleep with Jewish guys, right? So like, it's cool. I respect it.
Schultz, you can pull it off.
So what happens when I tell them, no, I'm not Jewish, and they go, what are you? German. It's not happening.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I can tell that didn't go over.
Exactly. Yeah. So I either lie about being Jewish, you know what I mean? And then, you know, whatever.
Why wouldn't you just lie?
You know what? It's like, I felt like,
I feel like you're very like Caucasianally ambiguous.
Oh,
like
if you float into any,
you can tell me any white you are, and I'd be
also honest. People still insist he's Jewish on the comments of everything he does.
That's true. That is very
why
true.
Why don't you just lie?
I'll tell you why. Because if like a trans chick like slept with me and didn't, you know, say what she was, I would feel
word,
and I've literally went through in my head. I was like,
I like that. I respect that consistency.
That's very respectful.
So I gotta be consistent. No, you know what I mean? That. You know what I mean? So it's no disrespect. You know,
man of values, man.
Good look. Anyway, so I haven't taken a shit, and I took anyway. So I had an opportunity, you know, go over this to this chick's house, right? Mm-hmm. And dead ass, I'm telling you, I'm in Toronto, and I was like, should I go to this house? And I felt a shit bubble. I felt it bubble up. This is no bullshit. I felt it bubble it up, right? And it wasn't a shit. It was a maybe shit, right?
Oh, and so it was like on the brim? On the cup?
Oh, no. I wish it was on the cup. I felt it in my intestine. I felt it in here. Oh, it was like, no. This could
movement
lead.
Movement in the intestines.
Movement in the intestines.
Right, right.
And I was like, this could lead to something, and I need these. And if I go to hers, it's not going to be pretty. So I passed up pussy for a maybe shit.
Wow.
I went back to the apartment. I sat in the toilet and just fart. And that's all it was. Got nothing. Everything's back in here.
That's all right.
So I'm struggling.
Is this the first time you met this person? Like, is the first time at her place?
No, I never went back to her place.
Oh, no.
Wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth it.
You're
a man
dedicated to your shits.
Bro, I can't even explain to you what I'm going through right now.
I went to Italy for 10 days. I couldn't shit. It was unbelievable. I don't know what it was.
It's these European monsters. And well, Israel is in Europe, but whatever. The rest of the world.
They just don't care about
fiber. There's no fiber anywhere.
I need GMO. I need steroids. I need all the good things that's in American food that makes me shit regularly. I don't want the, it's so natural. It tastes like a tomato. No, I don't give a fuck what it tastes like. I want to shit after I eat.
Do you have enough couscous? Maybe that's all you're missing.
Bro, I don't know. I'm not doing
You just
that.
Need to go uptown, go to Jimbo's, get whatever you want, get some cheese eggs and some grits.
With some grease.
Mix that in there, get some grease. Bro, I took some epic shits this road. Some epic shits, dog. It was fantastic. And I was like, I almost felt bad for you. I'm like, damn, I just took an epic shit like this morning. I know how important those things are.
Well, how about you guys, man? How was your New Year's?
My New Year's was all right, man. Just spent it with the lady. Went to Vandal. Shout out to Tito's. They you know, hosted me and my Henny Palooza guys. And,
okay.
You know, anything on New Year's Eve that's free with booze and
that's
free
amazing.
Food.
That's the look.
I'm like, that's where I'm going. I don't care. We'll make it work. So it was good. I was like pretty smacked by like 1 o'clock and falling asleep on my chair.
Mm-hmm.
And my lady like carried me home and took me home. It was like super fucking brick out.
Really?
Dog, this is the coldest. I lived here 10 years. It's the coldest I've ever seen it.
Ever. Not even just on New Year's. Just coldest period.
Son,
like
polar vortex, whatever the fuck. This is crazy.
I was in Canada, son.
Yeah.
Fam, the picture of you in your hotel room with your fur hoodie on, your North Face in bed comforters on, indoors. It's the funniest shit ever.
I'm not doing it, bro.
Never again.
I was saying this on Instagram, and I 100% believe this. I'm surprised Canada hasn't invaded the United States for weather purposes only. It is a shot. Listen, and shout out to Canadian sports fans, by the way. Great sports fans.
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic sports fans. I was watching a Nigerian freak.
Yes, sir.
At Giannis. I was watching him play the Raptors. And sold out. This regular season, mm-hmm. playing the Bucks. I mean, Giannis is a big
team,
deal,
man.
But like, they fucking
love. They support their own.
They support their own. It's a beautiful thing. Mm. That being said,
they're the Jews of North America.
I guess they are. I guess they are. Piece of shit place to live.
Oh, geez.
In terms of the cold, it is. It is a hazard. It's not cold regular. If you fall drunk.
You'll die.
You're dead.
You will die. You will freeze and die.
I was nervous walking home because I could just take a little. It's snow. It's ice everywhere. You fall. You'll die. This is where these people live. It's not even up north where the Eskimos are at. I'm talking about just the big cities. You're dead if you fall.
I blame Drake for this. Like Drake's music videos and like songs have made like he kind of tried to make like Toronto like, it's just like New York. It's just up north. I'm like, no, it's a different type of cold up there.
It's a different beast.
I went up there for All-Star Weekend a few years back when they had it up there. And holy shit.
Colder than Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, you can't even fathom.
Level of cold.
You're walking down the street afraid of your life.
It's Toronto.
Toronto and Montreal. Montreal's even colder.
I heard Montreal's cold. Because my homie, Nate McIntosh, really funny comedian, lived in Toronto a lot of years. He said, New York gets as cold as Toronto.
No, that's not what all they the all time. Say that. They all say that. They're lying. They're lying to them. They're lying to you.
They don't know.
I'm telling you, I've never experienced that kind of fear walking down the street. It was fear.
I will say this. Every Canadian I've met is incredibly pale. I have a Middle Eastern Canadian comic friend. He's still pale as fuck.
He's really bad.
Dave Mahesh pale as fuck.
He is. It's not
healthy.
Dave Mahesh
looks Jewish again.
It's not healthy.
Looks like you saw him in Israel.
It's not healthy. I'm telling you, it's not healthy out there. But whatever. It is what it is. We survived. What about you? What about you, Akash?
Man, this is the best New Year's in years. My girl and I went to dinner. This is the first New Year's I haven't had show since we've been together. Mm-hmm. And she was ready to party. And then New Year's Day, she's like, fuck it. Let's go to dinner. Let's be home at 11. She had a glass of wine. I don't even drink. We were home at 11, under the covers, kissed at midnight, went to sleep. Was the best.
That is best. You cracked the cheek code, bro.
Was the best,
bro. You cracked the cold, man.
She was the best ever.
You fuck?
Huh?
You fuck?
I respect the privacy.
I don't. You hit the skins for that shit?
Damn, bro. How's that screen?
Alex, we good? All right. Say what?
We're good.
All right, man. I admire. I almost didn't make it till midnight.
It's the worst fucking thing.
Yeah. Oh. It was whatever.
Celebrating New Year, God, all forgot. That. Calm down.
What happened?
Yeah, I forgot. Like the day of New Year's, I was helping my girlfriend move. Right. So like on that. Yeah. Like so, it was like extra long for me. Like I was helping.
Wait, woke up from New Year's Eve.
No, it was New Year's Eve morning.
Oh, okay, okay, you know okay. What okay.
I mean,
yeah,
like
yeah,
I was
yeah.
helping her move stuff, like put stuff in storage.
Hold on, to where?
In Brooklyn.
But is she like, moving to your place?
I mean, like no. But don't make this awkward, all right? I've already had this conversation a bunch of times.
Cut to the single. Cut to the single. Zoom in.
No, but like it was an extremely long day. And like by the time it hit like 12:30, yeah. You know,
it's got to be long when you see your freedom like, just dripping away.
Oh, boy.
That's about to be real long. Hell yeah.
Oh, God. You know
the saddest New Year's ever.
Bro, I know. Well, we celebrating tonight, babe.
My freedom. Nah, it's cool. It wasn't bad, man. It wasn't bad. It's just that moving sucks in general.
Yeah.
And it's like her first time moving in New York. And I don't think she realizes how much. Like, moving sucks already.
Yeah.
But like, moving in New York, like, doubly sucks. You know what I'm saying?
It's you can't park outside the spot.
You can't
traffic.
Move no vans. Like, you need, like, COIs and shit and all this other bullshit that, like, no other states really need.
Yeah.
And it was just a pain in the ass. And on top of that, we had to go and do the, you know, party thing on New Year's and be
friends. She moved in?
No, not really.
So where else could she live?
It was a confusing thing, man. It was a confusing thing. We had a spot uptown.
Uh-huh.
The broker
look how happy
it.
Alex is.
Yeah, Alex's already been through it.
No, here's the thing. Like she had
Alex holding
ready.
On to a rent control apartment for his dear life, son. That's his only saving grace to not be with his girl until he could go to his But babe, I got this for $1,100. I got a beautiful 2-bedroom for $1,100, I can't give it up, babe. I can't give it up.
Man. Yeah, no, it's. I feel your. It's not pain, Alex. It's not pain. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But no, it was one of those things where, like, you know, the broker, like, she had the deposit down already, and like the broker like sold it without telling her. So I was like, you know, instead of like rushing to find another spot, just like kick it here for a couple weeks. Yeah, yeah.
Famous last words. You know who said that shit? The Native Americans to Columbus.
Yeah, we're just here from Europe for a couple of weeks.
Yo, just kick it with us. Is that what we got?
All right, we good.
Hey, man, we got turkeys
and
shit.
We got maize and
shit. Yo, want some turkey? You want some sweet potatoes and shit? Yeah, we got some sweet potatoes. You want some sweet potatoes?
Oh,
300 years later, flavor 2 up in this bitch. Let's go.
Shout out to colonization, guys.
Shout out to colonization.
Oh, man.
Next.
Yeah, so fuck it, man. Let's
start it up.
Let's jump into it. First
busy
show
ass
of the
sports
year.
Time, man.
Yeah, man. We got, first of all, a lot of shit going on. A very sad injury to one of our favorite players here on Flagrant 2, James Harden.
The cute man
himself has pulled his hamstring. Apparently, he pulled it. He was putting those little mittens on his puppy's paws. really the cutest way to ever strain your hamstring. You got to lift with your glutes.
Yeah,
you can't be lifting with your back. You know what I mean? You're going to pull that hammy. So now the Rockets are without James Harden. Can Chris Paul earn his keep?
I think he can. And I don't doubt that they can keep the ship afloat for the next couple of weeks. My thing is, we said this in the beginning of the year, it was James Harden's MVP to lose. And I kind of think with like the past couple of games, where like they blew the game in this against the Celtics. They won, I think they lost like three or four in a row, whatever.
Kaz had an interesting tweet after that game.
What was it?
On Twitter.
After the end of that game, he said LeBron is the MVP.
LeBron's the MVP right now, man.
Wow. Kaz, like, his biggest advocate, jump shit from a three-game losing streak.
No, it's over.
Kaz gonna shave his beard. I'm done with this cute motherfucker. Yo.
No, but I always said like. And I said this many times during a couple of episodes. I'm like, they're going to find a way to not get James Harden as MVP, like media voters and stuff like that. Because we always said, like, it just wasn't – we've said this a bunch of times. Like, his game is just not, like, forceful. And yeah. Demanded. Like, Mad he put up 51 in back-to-back games, lost both of – no, lost one of them.
That's right, yeah.
And then lost the Celtics, blew like a 20-something point lead in Boston.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And, like, voters going to look at that. And, like, people are like
– marquee games matter.
It's true, yeah. The nationally televised shit matters.
When everybody's watching and, you know, LeBron's having another one of those, like, wow. You look up, it's like, holy shit, he's putting up this
– at 33. It's 15? Insane.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get one of those belated Kobe MVPs where it's like, we probably owe you two more. So we're just going to give you this one.
Here you go. Take it, like, yeah. You know? The Karl Malone MVP.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like...
we got to think of a name for that.
The Karl Malone.
No, what is the Karl Malone MVP? The whatever that's... the belated... yeah. You know, it's like where like you can't give it to the same guy again.
Yeah.
What is the...
I mean, I think it was voter fatigue. Voter fatigue was when they had it.
Voter fatigue.
Yeah. Initially, like when he had like four in a row.
Yeah.
And then like Derrick Rose got that one because like, yeah, we're not going to give it to LeBron again.
Yeah.
And he just went to Miami and we're just like, eh, we kind of don't like him.
Yeah, we didn't like him.
Yeah.
We got to like you for you to win the MVP. Exactly. That's something that people don't.
Super facts. That's why Kobe didn't get, only got one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, that one year that Steve Nash got it, it was the same year that
Kobe got 81. If I voted, I'd 100% not vote for you if I didn't like you.
Of course. Excuse
me? Fuck you.
No, I know you're good. Yeah, but fuck you.
Shit, but, you know.
Yeah.
But nah, man, I really do think I know you may say it's only 2 weeks and a three-game losing streak, but like I think that slim of a margin between, you know, the Rockets and everybody else. Like, their lead has dwindled. The Warriors kind of came back.
The Warriors
and, like,
are number one now.
They're number one again. You know, LeBron is...
Steph got to be on something.
About to get some help. Steph is
now, like,
back
I'm
to
sorry.
Being ridiculous
I'm
again.
I'm sorry. Like, the way he sprained his ankle, and I've had some bad ankle sprains.
That was a full 90-degree sprain that he got.
It looked like a boomerang.
Yeah.
His leg. Yeah. You don't come back in 2 weeks from that. I it's taken me... years to come back like fully from bad ankle sprains. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm not getting the same treatment. I'm not getting that kind of stuff. Like, there's something they got to be injecting in these guys.
All of them.
But it has to be. Yeah, and again, I'm not denying that. And I'm actually supportive of it.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to use HGH in time of recovery or use these other things. Yeah. Maybe not during the regular season, but to recover.
Not for a competitive advantage, but
to get back to where you were.
Back to where you were. I'm all for it.
Totally fine.
To be honest, if it doesn't do long-term damage, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the
thing.
That was the whole steroids argument. Like, people were, like, you know, offing themselves and shit. Like,
yeah.
Doing all that crazy shit. So they're like, okay, maybe we got to, like, chill on the steroids and, like, really buckle down.
But HGH is good.
Look at Barry Bonds. He looks as healthy as ever, man. Like, good. Mark McGuire looks fine. Like, Sammy Sosa, all right, well, he's a little light-skinned now. But, like, other than that, he's pretty fine. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not like... I here's the crazy thing. Like, we go talk about the NFL and steroids, like, concussion stuff and concussion protocol, that's way worse than any type of steroids people are taking.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And those are effects you can see, like, immediate.
What is concussion protocol?
I mean, like... They had the thing when, like, Russell Wilson got, like, knocked out. And, like, when you could visibly see something, you're supposed to, like, sit out a few plays. And, like, they have to supposed to bring an independent doctor on the side. Yeah. Not, like, your team guy to, like, look you up and down and just, like, get you back on the field as quick as possible.
Yeah.
They bring in an independent dude to, like, pretty much tell you if your bearings are off or whatever. And if you got to sit and, you know, take a week or whatever. And that's why the Seahawks got fined. Because, like, Russell Wilson was clearly concussed. He got knocked. Got the stuff knocked out of him at one point. And, like, before the independent doctor could come in,
they sent him right back in the game.
Good. Yeah. Like, fuck all that shit. So it wasn't until they saw the replays and saw that he was, like, clearly loopy that they're like, oh, shit, how we let this happen?
Yeah, Tom Savage, it happened with him in Houston. It's just what happens.
Yeah.
I actually think MVP doesn't get decided until like March, April, really. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about this, and I want you guys to answer. Mm-hmm. Think about it before you answer, I mean.
Gotcha. Yep.
So, rosters as is. No LeBron. Isaiah Thomas on the Cavaliers, like the way they've been playing all year.
Yep.
You trade LeBron for KD and Steph. Keep everything else the same. Who wins a 7-game series between the Cavs and the Warriors?
With LeBron?
LeBron and the Warriors. The
Cavs, clearly.
KD... Are you sure?
The Cavs, clearly the
so
Cavs.
So it's just all you LeBron has his Clay.
And Draymond and Steve Kerr and that system.
Yeah, but Draymond's just a shittier LeBron.
I don't think that's the case.
Nah, I mean he's a non-scoring.
For sure, if you switch one of those players.
He's a husky LeBron. Lamar Odom, basically. He's like a husky shorter Lamar Odom.
I guess I mean like in terms of what like he can offer the team.
Also, you know what I mean? Is there a better player for LeBron than Clay?
No, he's great.
I mean, Clay fits on the perfect team. Fit.
Yeah,
Clay
he's fits on any team, agreed. But for LeBron in particular.
Any guy who could guard a perimeter player and knock down 3-point shots, give him somebody who could facilitate.
I think it's going to be good. I'll say this. If you take LeBron and switch it with KD or take LeBron and switch it with Steph, whatever team LeBron is on is going to win. And that's how you know LeBron is more valuable.
Right.
With KD hold on. And Steph?
No. One for one. If it's just one for one trade.
Okay.
Right? I don't think it's a question.
Without a question. But, and I think that's how you show LeBron's true value, right? It's like, who's better, LeBron or KD? We'll just switch places.
Put LeBron on the Rockets and Harden on the Cavs.
Forget it.
I think LeBron is so valuable. And I also give a lot of credit to Steve Kerr in that system because no matter who the fuck goes down, that team still crushes everyone.
Absolutely.
Didn't KD lose Draymond and Steph and still they won on like a 9-game winning streak?
Like, I understand. Yeah. Like, and that's the whole thing about like why people were so mad when KD went to the Warriors. Like, yeah, like you can kind of feel a way about him personally, but like KD is still at worst a top 3 NBA player.
Yeah.
Anyway, like he's one of the few, one or maybe 3 guys you can literally put on any NBA team. And they're capable. I'm not saying they'll be a championship team. I'm not saying they'll be a
they're in the picture.
But they're in the picture. They're in the mix. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you give him KD and Steph for LeBron. Like, you put KD and Steph on any NBA team.
Yeah.
They're immediately a championship contender.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Denzel Washington, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blockbuster.
Yeah. Facts.
Going to have a big weekend.
But I do think, you know, we kind of owe LeBron an MVP. Like,
so he's got the.
Every year we owe him an MVP.
Like, there's no. In the actual name of the award, who is more valuable, not even just to the NBA, to his team, but to the NBA? Than LeBron James.
Nobody.
Like 15 years. No, like you could count on him not happening to him. He doesn't get hurt.
It's insane.
He's 15 years in the game. He looks stronger than ever. He looks like he's getting faster somehow.
Finals every year.
Like he's in the finals every fucking year.
Every year.
And he doesn't take days off. Like, you don't see him like, oh, LeBron's out.
Plays way too many minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obnoxious amount of minutes.
He's a fucking mutant, dog. Like, he's like, how is he not? More value.
He's Wolverine.
Like, yeah, exactly. He's Logan. He's Wolverine.
He's Wolverine. Who's the best coach in college football?
Best coach in
Saban.
Nick Saban, right?
Yeah.
Because he's only gone to 3 straight.
Yeah.
How is LeBron not the MVP?
How is this unanimous?
Exactly. Unanimous decision. You ask anybody in college about. I don't even know college football. Yeah. Nick Saban. Yeah, he's the best.
When he retires, they should just call it the LeBron.
The LeBron. Award.
The LeBron.
Yeah.
There's Zach Reinier, funny comic friend of ours. Had a joke about when Jordan retired, he said they should retire his number from numbers.
It should be 19, 20, 20 21, 22,
24. Oh, yeah, 22, yeah, 24. Yeah. Listen, bro, you know I can't do these types of things. Can't spell Philly and I can't count. You know what I mean? But I can sit in this chair, talk about taking shits.
Know your strengths, man.
Exactly.
There's a talent in knowing what you're good at. And
exactly. That's so if LeBron never has the number 23, is his number the most iconic number in NBA history?
So like say it's 6.
Let's say it's 6.
All right.
Would that be more iconic than Jordan?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Okay, give me the only reason why I say yes is because the game is more of a global game now, and through social media and all these other things that a player now currently would have more of a global impact, possibly, than a player in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah. I don't think so, just because of the power of Nike, man. Like, the power of Nike and Jordan have made, like, more than the NBA.
Right.
Like, they have made that number 23 so sacred to everybody. True. You know what I'm saying? True. That it's like, a lot of this is marketing. A lot of this is PR, man. Like, you know, if somebody wears 23, you automatically think, oh, he thinks he's nice. Like, he thinks highly of himself to be like, yeah, I'll wear this on my back.
Yeah.
I've worn 23 before. I've thought that about myself.
Yo, you feel better.
I won't do it. It's too arrogant of a move.
Yeah. You want the lower expectations.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's a target on your back. It's absolutely a target on your back. You wear the number 23, automatically, like, he subs in the game. It's like, okay, this guy. At least give him a little look.
But when these kids are wearing 23, are they wearing it for Bron or Jordan?
I think Jordan, because I'm sure sneaker culture existed before Jordan.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't near this.
No.
Jordan made sneakerheads out of most of us.
By far.
That's an interesting argument. Yeah. Did sneaker culture exist before Jordan?
Sure it did.
Some dorks were walking around with different types of Adidas or whatever. Top 10s, get out of my face. Now everybody.
The weapons with like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, which is literally the same sneaker, just in different colors.
Converse, get out of my face.
Oh, that's right. Converse had some shit. But it wasn't like, I'm cool because I wear these sneakers. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and 20 years later, you're not.
Nobody was getting bodied for those sneakers.
Alex is wearing shoes from 30 years ago.
Facts.
And we think it's the hottest fucking shoe on earth.
Oh, it's absolutely
true. And they haven't lost a bit of their luster. It's like, yep.
There is no LeBron as cool as that Jordan 1 right there.
No, that's Jordan's got the best sneaker.
But I think that, it's not just who has a better sneaker, but that sneaker means so much. It changed culture. Like, that shit moved the culture.
It's got to be the shoes.
It was a phrase. Yeah, it's got to be the shoes. Like, you do the right thing.
And I'm clearly.
That movie, that scene where somebody steps on his Jordan 3s and like they get the airtight
cement fours.
My bad. Yeah, they get the airtight cap
Jordan
shot.
Yeah.
Of him brushing his.
And he can't get it clean. That shit breaks. That's the saddest part of the movie.
Yeah,
that's sadder than the riot, if you ask me. Yeah, this man can't clean his Jordan.
Damn, bro. Like Radio Raheem died, and that's sad and all, but like the fucking fours. Those cement fours are ruined, bro.
See, I mean, fours didn't do anything. They weren't loud, except in appearance.
But yeah, man, I don't know. It's weird, though, because you ask a lot of kids. You ask a lot of guys that are growing up. Not even kids. You ask a lot of guys in the NBA right now. I forgot who said it. I forgot. I think it was, like, Wesley Matthews or some like, relatively young NBA player. And they were like, yeah, we're 23 because of LeBron James. I'm just like...
That's crazy to me.
That's crazy to me.
Literally until right now, I assumed everybody who wore 23 was for Jordan.
Yeah.
But these kids, they don't know Jordan, just like we don't know Moses Malone.
They don't.
Yeah. So like, it don't matter what the number is. LeBron is their guy.
Nothing makes me feel older than people like not having to experience Jordan. Not even have to watch him play. Mm-hmm. But like at least just even like the years after he retired.
Yeah.
And like they were still looking for the next Jordan. Or like even like he still had the flyest commercials of him like just like walking around being a regular guy again.
Yeah.
like the impact of Jordan. Like people don't understand like how, I mean, I'm sure people still understand because like his shoes are still super popular.
Yeah.
But like be living in that moment, like there's no retired athlete now still that has that impact of a Michael Jordan. And I don't think, like, I guess Kobe's...
Remember the commercial, old Jordan playing young Jordan?
Yeah.
She was the best one-on-one.
Doing the You Reach, I Teach type of shit. And like, he was doing all the old school movies.
I remember one Jordan commercial. I think it was
how old? Like Uncle Drew old?
Nah, it was Wizards Jordan
versus
like rookie year Jordan. And then at the end, he goes, I got next. And then Carolina Jordan walks in.
What?
And, they both look at each other. It was a fire commercial. And I'm just like, damn, man. Like, I guess they're going to, I feel like they're going to try and do that with Kobe. And like have Kobe be like that.
Then he rapes somebody. Fuck the whole marketing plan up.
Yo.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, goddamn it.
Now, greatness does make us forget.
It does, bro. Like, people, and it makes me feel old because it's like, because I remember people telling me about, like, yeah, Jordan's nice, but he ain't no Dr. J, he ain't no Larry Bird, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this motherfucker's whack.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is that how people look at Jordan?
Yeah.
Like,
and I don't remember LeBron.
And what's the worst thing about Jordan?
Like, the worst thing that they'll say is, are we going to watch this video?
He's a sociopath, yeah, though. Jordan is a person.
Everybody great is a sociopath, but I want to go... Hold on, what is this?
This is the Jordan commercial, the Jordan vs. Jordan.
Okay. How long is it?
It's Wizards Jordan. You can just watch this first, like, 10, 15 seconds.
All right, okay.
Oh, this is with the snakeskin 17s, too. Those shorts are so fire.
There they go. Boom. Young Jordan.
Yes.
I'm good on any Jordan after 3.
After 3? That's insane to me. 4s? Actually, good on 4s?
Actually, I don't like them. I only wear 1s, but I would wear... I do like the... what's it called? The patent leathers, the 11s.
Yeah, I'll go to 12.
I'm good up until 13.
Yeah.
I'm good up until 13. 13's like the hard cutoff for me.
No. Oof. Golly. Oof, golly. Golly. All right.
You reach, I teach. Bang.
Fuck it. What were we just saying though? What was the thing?
Who's got the more iconic number?
No. It was on that conversation. I had something to say.
Kobe. Greatness makes you forget.
Greatness does make you forget, man.
No. Oh, well.
Boom. I think Carolina Jordan walks in.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Nike does a better job than anyone else in like keeping their like finger to the pulse of culture.
Oh, yeah. I think I know where you're going with this.
And I'll say this because I saw Jesse.
Yes. Shout out to Jesse.
Shout out
man.
To Jesse Filet.
Oh yeah,
Jesse Filet. You know he's been posting a lot about how he's Team Nike, and I was like, well, that's smart of Nike to give him some money to like brand him with them. I mean, he's this great charismatic kid who's really funny. Mm. He had this thing that organically happened. For those of you guys who don't know, he's the guy who does the Filet videos. He does commentary on all like the basketball, football, boxing highlights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he's also this really positive kid. He's always dancing. He's smiling. There's a lot of good stuff to get on board, right? But so Nike, every other shoe company could have approached him. Every other shoe company did.
I could tell you straight up.
And he said no?
BR, we wanted to do something with him in Under Armour for Steph Curry.
Really?
And like, we were late.
Oh, what I'm saying is like every other one could.
Yeah.
But Nike was there first.
Nike was there first. You know, they got to him first.
Because
yeah.
Look, we had him on a podcast here. It's not like you couldn't access him. Mm-hmm. But we didn't
He's
do it.
Incredibly and, accessible. Very, incredibly approachable. Yeah. He's nice dude.
Great guy. So here's the thing that I respect about Nike is that like in my experience with executives, and this is not all executives, but a lot of executives are detached from the culture and the people that they are making content for. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they trust maybe their assistant, maybe they trust their kid, maybe they trust these random people with literally all of their cultural knowledge about them. And this happened when I was at MTV. You had these execs who were a little bit older and they were a little bit detached from the culture, didn't know exactly what was going on. But they would have, you know, faith in certain people. They, you know, trust Charlemagne. They trust, and there's good people that they could actually trust.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of brands don't do that well.
They don't.
And I think the reason Nike stays one step ahead of all of them is because they do. And I don't know who it is that they're hiring.
The only reason Adidas got Yeezy is because Nike got Yeezy first.
Yeah.
Established Yeezy, and then they fell out.
Yeah.
And then Adidas was like, oh, this works.
Yeah.
They didn't go out and say, hey, let's give this rapper a sneaker.
Yeah. And it's been done before, but it's like a lot of times rappers are content with just being like outfitted and just being like, yeah, like Adidas, like, Run DMC, my Adidas. Okay, that's cool. But Kanye wanted to take it a step further. Nike was like, nah, we're good. Mm. And then, you know, Adidas was like, fuck it. Well, and I understand why they don't do it. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of risk involved. So with Jesse and the Kyrie commercial, I mean, like, have you seen the actual commercial? Like, it's like,
sick.
It's such a fire spot because it's like, it is an absolute, like, time capsule of what's hot right now.
Yeah.
So even if people stop doing Filet tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's smart on Nike to just be like, we recognize this moment right now. We're going to give this kid this moment right now. Kyrie is our main, you know, next to LeBron James, he is our signature guy. Like, it's a big deal.
He doesn't say Filet in the commercial.
He says Fade Away.
He says Fade Away.
Which is, you know, there's marketing reasons behind that. You know what I mean?
Did he Jesse copyright Filet?
Jesse probably owns Filet. Like, you probably didn't want to, you know, call for the bad. So it was like, you know, we'll do this, but whatever. At the same time, it's a big deal to be a signature athlete on Nike. It's the reason why it's the reason why Steph Curry left, because they don't want to make him a signature athlete. It's the reason why a lot of people, Dwayne Wade, a reason why a lot of these guys end up leaving.
Yeah.
Because they don't, you know, become signature athletes at Nike. So they only have five, if I'm not mistaken. It's Bron, Kobe, Kyrie, KD,
Giannis,
Paul George. And I don't even think Giannis has a signature yet. Like, I think they might give him one eventually. But those are only five guys with signature lines for Nike. And so for him,
I thought that was part of the new deal, but whatever.
Maybe we'll see. Yeah. But for Jesse and Filet to get that Nike joint, man, like it's why Nike stays on top, and they're the best at it. That's the reason why people still wear number 23. It's the reason why people still idolize Jordan. Yeah, he's great and all, but it's like marketing and PR and all that type of stuff plays a part into it. Keeps you in the consciousness. It's the reason why we're still wearing his sneakers like 35 years later and shit. So
it's unbelievable.
Like, good. It's good for him.
It's unbelievable. Akash, you want to talk about your shitty ass Cowboys?
Man.
Stupid fucking jersey. Man. You bought a new Cowboys A&A, right? jersey?
Nah, I've been had this.
You've been had it?
Yeah, actually, my girl got this for me as an anniversary gift. Like,
I hope
ago.
She got
good
it.
Gift.
Nice.
No, I never wanted any new Cowboys stuff because I'm just tired.
You're over it?
Yo, you know what I realized?
You're
the
gay?
The Cowboys. No, I've been on that, fam. The Cowboys are the Knicks. We haven't been relevant since the 90s. Mm-hmm. The reason I don't want to come talk about them all the time is because you guys are always talking about the Knicks.
Right.
But I think it's only fair. We all have our biases.
Sure.
We're not journalists here.
Look at the art Alex put together. Yeah.
And I don't even mind
it. Look at the art Alex
trash.
Put together. Shout out
I'm
to
tired
Alex.
Of it. Zeke is a fucking idiot. Mm. My man is just under investigation by the NFL for a year, and then he spends the offseason after a year pulling down a girl's shirt at St. Patrick's Day, knowing everybody's filming you, beating the shit out of a dude at a club, paying the cops to cover it up, whatever the fuck he did. Going to the marijuana spot. The day he got suspended for 6 games and appealed, he was on a party yacht. He's a fucking idiot, and I'm tired of him. Jason Garrett's a horrible coach. Jerry Jones needs to die before anything is going to change.
Jesus
22
Christ.
Years of this motherfucker since Jimmy left.
Yes.
22 years, 2 playoff wins. We are the Knicks. We have not been relevant. I always make fun of Knicks fans. Y'all can't even get out of the first round. Get the fuck out of my face. Yeah. That's the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm saying. Everybody
feel
says.
Our pain.
Everybody.
Feel our pain,
I feel it. Everybody in Dallas. I realize Dallas fans outside, Cowboy fans outside of Dallas are like obnoxious and don't. They're like Knicks fans in New York.
Okay.
They just don't no basis in reality.
Yeah.
In Dallas, we all know this isn't going to change until Jerry dies. Mm. But I've realized there is a sliver of hope.
Okay.
What needs to happen? Jerry Jones is an owner. Born in what, the 1940s?
Mm-hmm.
Old white dude, drunk,
he needs to say some
womanizer. We need some Jerry Richardson shit to come out about
what's
Jerry
Jones. Richardson?
Jerry, the
but
owner
Jerry
of the
Richardson still owns the Panthers.
He's going to have to be forced to see. I thought he's going to sell. He
yeah,
said he's going
to
sell.
Will,
oh, we got to talk
been, like,
about that.
Forced out, but like.
Well, we're
yeah.
combining two stories here. So Jerry Richardson, yeah, okay. owner of the Panthers, a lot of sexual harassment complaints, and then a lot of complaints about him saying like racist things.
Mm. Okay.
And that was enough for him to be like, you know what? I'm going to take my billions. I'm going to get the fuck out.
Mm.
Jerry Jones isn't racist. I don't think he's racist, but he's a white dude born in the 40s. I don't think he's never said some dumb shit.
I don't think he's not racist. I do think there's a strong possibility he probably isn't aware of his racism.
Fine. Call him on that. Let's start documenting things. Yeah. This guy fucks everybody. There's pictures of him with strippers. Just somebody.
Who, Jerry Jones?
We just need one brave woman to come forward. That's really what we need. He needs his Weinstein falling moment. And then the Cowboys will be all right. Women will benefit. The Cowboys fans will benefit. This is the solution.
But what if he's just like the sweetest guy?
I mean, there's
what
definitely.
What if Jerry Jones is like the one guy that doesn't meet too?
Which is crazy.
No, everybody who likes him, yeah. Everybody who knows him apparently says this is like a really likable guy.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, you're out here. Fucking this many girls.
How
at
do you
that
know he's
age.
Fucking all these girls? How
Doug,
old is
there's
he?
A picture of him in like a club bathroom with two girls. Like one of them's like down by his crotch, like grabbing it or something. If you can look up this picture, I should have sent it to you beforehand because I knew you wouldn't.
Okay.
Because again, this was a big deal in Dallas.
So why does nobody else talk about this?
I don't know how it doesn't become a huge thing. I don't know how he does this.
Okay.
I don't know how he... Remember when he said everybody on our team is going to stand from the national anthem or they won't
play?
And then everybody stood.
Yeah. And then it stopped being a story 2 weeks later. I don't know how this guy slides on everything.
He should be the commissioner.
Fam.
I think that's what he wanted, to be honest.
Oh, he wanted to be the commissioner. He wanted to sell the Cowboys?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's what he wanted.
But nah, he wants to be known as a football guy. That's why he fired Jimmy, because Jimmy wouldn't give him any credit. Jimmy's like still says to this day, I had the final say on all football decisions. Jerry still denies that. And Jimmy's like, all right, fine, you can deny it. Cowboys fans are like, cool, you can deny it. But for 22 years, you've had the final say, and you've done nothing. Mm. So what do you... And that's his big thing. Like, the Cowboys were losing a ton of money when he bought them. The NFL wasn't doing that well. He's a great businessman. Yeah. Right. Genius.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
Damn. He got his hand on her head,
fam. Look at my man.
Yo.
That's appropriate.
And he's posing for
that. Tell me that ain't me too, fam.
Jeez Louise. How many lines was he on?
This is the 90s or what?
No, this is like 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, this is fairly recent.
This is very recent. Maybe three.
That's what he's supposed to do. He's a billionaire. He's a single billionaire.
Listen, I'm not arguing what the morality is. I'm telling you what the culture is right now, and somebody needs to say something. This monster needs to be stopped, and I'm not talking about his behavior with women. I'm talking about his behavior with the Cowboys. That shit is unacceptable.
Do the players not get any blame for this, man? Because Dez Bryant was over there.
Dez Bryant, I love Dez. That's my favorite Cowboy on this team, but yo, he's not looking good. Dak's not looking good.
Tell you something about Dez, he ain't getting no pussy like Jerry. Tell you one thing, Dez ain't getting that right there. That's a me too. If Dez does that, that's a me too. If Jerry does it, it's like, maybe.
No, I'm not gonna touch this one.
Listen, bro.
I'm not touching this one. But
look at this. Look at this right here, man. This is a classy lady. Listen, of course she's consenting.
Hey, I'm not arguing whether or not they look consenting. I'm just saying there's gotta be one girl.
What line do you think he said to get her face right there?
Here's $1 billion.
Nah, he's not giving $1 billion. He probably says some slick southern shit.
Here's $1 million. $8.
Here's $8.
For sure, okay, I got it. Hey, sweetheart, will you go down there and check to see if my zipper's unzipped?
Listen, I'm not arguing what's right or wrong. I don't care.
This looks somewhat non-consensual until you see her hand on his chest. That's the consensual.
I'm not arguing these pictures. I'm arguing in general. With all the women he's fucked.
He done got his dick sucked already.
So if Jerry Jones gets ousted, who's the guy for you?
Oh, who would I prefer as an owner?
Who would you prefer? Literally anyone?
Yeah, pretty much anybody. Keep him behind the scenes. Honestly,
I think that you're judging Jerry wrong. This is giving me a whole new respect for Jerry.
Yo, as a man, I'm not judging him as a man. I'm judging him as a football owner.
This girl's throwing it back at him, tongue out the mouth. He got the same Liam Neeson taken face in both pictures. Son.
Jerry Jones is...
Look at his face. Acknowledge the fact that he's stone cold.
Listen to this.
He's like 8 Jim Beams down.
Oh, that's it. But no emotion whatsoever. None. So in case it does go to the courts, he can say, honestly, I was pushing this woman off of me. Mm. There's no joy. He would say, sweetheart, move your head from my crotch, please. This is inappropriate.
That's how this works.
He's trying to do it.
Jerry is everything you want to be. I get that.
Yeah. Let's talk about what this is really about. You have a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't allow you to appreciate real men. Okay? This is some soft ass beta male shit that you're doing right now. You see a man out here getting pussy and your girl put the kibosh on that. Okay, she bought you a faithful ass Emmitt Smith jersey. Not a Michael Irvin jersey.
I got an Irvin jersey. No, it's not Z.
Oh, it's not?
I got
Smith, right?
It's Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
I got an Irvin jersey.
You got an Irvin? You ain't allowed to wear it no more?
I be wearing them.
No, you don't.
I be wearing
them. You don't wear that. You wear it on laundry day. Go wash your Emmitt Smith jersey so you can hang around the house. This is a real man right here. Jerry Jones trying to protect the NFL.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
I love Dez. Dez out here fucking hoes.
No, he not. Dez married.
Dez ain't married.
Yeah. Dez loves fucking, what do you think X is? That's for the X chromosome. That guy likes dudes, bro. He ain't even out here.
Dude's got a Y chromosome.
Whatever, motherfucker. I ain't no scientist. I look like a scientist, bro. I don't know anything about that shit.
Like, what?
Y'all thought I was a scientist. I was half right about that shit.
You'll only be half right about that.
Whatever, yo. I got that 50%. You know what I mean? Shout out to Jamie Lee Curtis and her should have had a dick ass.
Oh, God.
You heard about that, Jamie Lee Curtis? You heard about
that?
Wait,
what?
Jamie Lee Curtis is born a genetic male.
Really?
But her so a certain amount of people don't have this. So well, I actually do know a little bit about science. So,
you know a little bit about dick?
I know a lot about dicks. You know what I mean? A lot about it. No, but Jamie Lee Curtis, what is it? When you're born, everybody's born, or not born, but like when you're inside the belly, you're a woman, and then testosterone masculinizes the brain, right? Mm-hmm. So certain people have this thing where they just don't accept the testosterone. They just don't accept the Y chromosome. Okay. So she was born genetically to be a man, but she has this issue which doesn't allow her to accept the testosterone, and then she never changed.
I don't know, bro. Still kind of gross to me.
I mean,
still kind of gross to me.
It is some wild shit, but that's just what it is.
It's just a miracle.
All right, so in conclusion about Jerry Jones,
we just need a couple allegations.
Hearing you bitch about Jerry Jones makes me realize how silly Knicks fans sound blaming it on Dolan.
How?
Because it's not him.
He just cuts the checks.
He just cuts the checks, B.
Because Jerry
No,
Jones,
he doesn't. He's the GM.
No, Dolan
He's
just cuts the checks.
He's titled himself the GM.
Yeah. But Dolan is also involved in these decisions.
No,
like,
but
Dolan
Jerry
is gonna
says, I am the GM. I will not hire a GM ever.
Right.
He literally said to him, there's a radio segment on The Ticket. Somebody called in, started yelling at him. This is like 15 years ago, and this is like 20 years ago maybe. He said, do you like those 3 Super Bowls? I hope you did. I hope you did very much. And then I think he said something to the effect of, I will give up being GM when I'm dead.
I like that.
And that's it. Cool. You can do that. You on the team, but you're not good at it.
Fair enough. But okay, let me ask you this hypothetical question, right? You are a billionaire.
Right.
You are going to die one day. All you want to do is be the GM of a football team and win a Super Bowl. Don't you have the right to do that shit?
I'm not saying he doesn't have the right.
You just would prefer he doesn't.
Prefer he didn't. And that's why I'm saying if one of these girls just wants to come forward.
Yo, you know Jerry, I mean? The type of dude to be like, she asked for it. I really feel like Jerry might, honestly, Jerry
like
not going to apologize, bitch.
Too, man.
Bro.
But yeah, I did it. But she wanted it.
She wanted it.
You know what it is? Here's the thing, right? So with the Jerry Richardson thing, like there's pressure on him to sell, right?
Because no, I heard he said he's gonna sell.
Yeah, I mean, because of all that
pressure.
Type of stuff.
Right.
Jerry Jones seems like the type that'll say, "Fuck you, I'm not selling.
I ain't selling."
He's like, "What you gonna do? Not come to Cowboys games?"
From
Dallas?
What I understand,
fuck you.
From what I understand, the reason he wants to sell is to get out ahead of the NFL doing to him. Because it like
what happened to
Silver did to Sterling.
Because it was tragic what happened to Sterling, the way he sold his franchise for
$2 billion. I mean, that's right. What also Jerry Richardson's like, I'm gonna make billions of dollars, whatever.
He's
but
good.
The inevitability he saw was that the NFL like was going to make him sell the team. So that's what I'm saying. This is a sliver of hope.
I hope Diddy gets it. To be honest with you, I really do.
Panthers? I think so.
I really hope. I think it'd be great. I mean, you can't deny Diddy's marketing ability. He's a fucking genius when it comes to marketing. Who's better than Diddy?
Listen, if you want to make the NFL a little more friendly to us coloreds, you get Puff, you let Puff get his team of really rich friends and buy an NFL team.
Easy.
I'll be at least interested.
Play all the games on Revolt. Now we got a reason to watch Revolt.
Diddy actually pays. I don't know when this happened,
but
he actually pays.
Yeah, he
shout
pays.
Shout out to Joe Budden.
Yeah, shout out to Joe. Got the bag, man.
Did they sign up on it?
I think they confirmed it on New Year's Eve when they like did the New Year's Eve party, whatever they were talking about.
But and is Act gonna go
didn't
as well?
Talk numbers. I haven't seen Ack around them at all, but I think Ack's straight.
I think
those gamer YouTube checks are, you know.
Oh, no, it's real money. He's got it. Man, that is huge, man.
Yeah.
Yo, Joe's come a long way, man.
Yeah, man. For somebody who stays irrelevant, bro, that people say he's irrelevant, that motherfucker manages to stick around.
He's the Kenny
around,
the Jet
dude.
Smith of rap.
Oh, shit. That is the most appropriate comparison I have ever seen.
Oh my God.
The Kenny, the Jet Smith, the Rat. Wow. I immediately got that.
Only like, flagrant two fans are going to get that shit right there.
It's
that's
like,
great.
Like, dog, like, he won a championship. Yeah, he was never really like the greatest. Two? He won two championships.
He's
yeah.
the luckiest person in the world.
Went to North Carolina.
He was nice, though. Player. He was a contributor on those teams.
But it's like, dog, now
he has
years
no
later,
business sitting down with Shaq, Charles Barkley, or Ernie, who is
like
the Shaq and Charles Barkley of hosting a TV
yeah,
show.
He's the GOAT.
Oh, dog. Like the fact that Kenny Smith finessed his way.
It's amazing.
But he's actually good
and
at
he's
being
great
an
at what he does.
He might be the best
he's
of all
the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's there for pure merit, but in terms of skill.
Like, there is no inside the NBA without Kenny Smith. Like,
how crazy is it that Shaq has all these balls telling Barkley to shut up because he has no championships, yeah. and none of them, Shaq nor Barkley, ever go, Kenny,
you weren't that.
You were regular.
Nice, bro.
Yeah. Like, Vernon Maxwell was better than you.
You were extra regular. You were nice in college. You went to North Carolina. I seen you.
Yeah.
You won a dunk. Did he win a dunk?
Yeah,
contest?
He did. He had bunnies,
contest,
bro.
Something like that. Yeah, but like, you're not no Shaq. You're not no Chuck. But fuck that. The longer. I always say this.
He almost looks like Button. Yo, he almost does.
The longer he's away.
Let's ask his ex-girlfriends if they're all right.
The longer.
Yo! That was flagrant, dog. That's a flagrant two. Yo!
God
yo, I'm sorry, man. For those of you who got it, you
yo,
get it. For those of you who don't,
man. Listen, shout out to you, Joe, man. Congrats on the deal, bro.
That would have kept the fucking Smiths on the air, bro. If they had some drama. That's a problem with the Smiths. There ain't no drama on that
it was
shit,
too
bro.
Much, too much good black love on TV. Like, we don't need any of that shit.
Don't we already have Blackish? What's happening over here?
We don't need all this black positivity.
Come on.
Fuck that shit.
We had Rev Run in that show.
Get off the air.
Oh, fuck.
Why aren't they throwing champagne on each other in an empty restaurant? This is odd.
Oh, man. My God.
How fucked up is that, yo? Beautiful, happy family on TV. Motherfuckers don't want to watch it.
I ain't watching that shit, bro.
No.
I mean, reality TV in general. Only
you need some conflict, I guess.
Horrible.
You need conflict
yeah.
in anything.
Yeah.
In everything,
watch.
Yes, fair enough.
Nobody wants to watch people getting along.
That's
yeah.
true. Yeah, yeah.
Learning lessons about life. Fuck watching that shit.
That's why I don't go to women's marches. Too much unity, right?
Positivity.
Yeah,
man.
Fuck out of here with all this shit.
Negativity spreads faster, goddamn.
Let's
it.
Go.
We need that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nah, shout out to Joe Budden, man. He really.
Shout out to Andrew's joke. He was waiting to use that shit the whole time. Ooh, as soon as he heard Joe got the deal for sure, he was
I had
like,
that shit like
fuck.
This. You know, I had the slow cock. You know, when you're behind like a wall, the bad guy doesn't know you're there.
sitting on a platform.
Oh, man. I really feel bad for people who didn't get that.
It's all good.
I feel worse for Joe Budden's exes, but I feel bad for people who didn't get that.
God damn it, man. God damn. Joe's a friend. Whoa. He's a friend, all right? I will not. I will not shit on this man's life right now.
Who's shitting on him?
I will not shit on his past, man. He has a great, great future in broadcasting. He just had a baby.
Hey, man.
Shout out to Sin. Shout out to everybody. Yeah. I will not partake in this Joe Budden slander.
No. God bless, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
baby
for real,
and everything.
For real, congrats.
That's gorgeous. Childbirth is a painful thing. I can think of all things that are painful.
No, I'm good. I'm done. No. Akash has left the room. He has left the room. Nah, bro. Y'all, that is the most. That might be the most flagrant. That might be the most flagrant take we've ever had here.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Y'all are terrible human beings. You're a terrible human being.
What I do?
Comics, dog.
That's what we do, motherfuckers.
Y'all are terrible people.
Listen, rappers, y'all talk about killing people and shit like that and selling drugs. You know what I mean? You do that even though none of y'all do it. This is what we do. We make jokes about shit.
Yeah, we find humor in shit that's not supposed to be humorous.
Bro, I thought about this shit. I think I was telling you. I thought about this shit. It's so funny that, like, only comics are taken so seriously, so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, Like,
the Chappelle stand up.
I didn't see the most recent one. Oh my God. Everybody says it's amazing.
It's so good. It's so good. It's a stand up about his last stand up. About, like, all, like, the
backlash. Oh, all the back. Oh, I want to watch.
You got to watch. It's so good.
I want to watch. I mean,
true genius.
Well, he's a brilliant dude. But I was thinking about this because I was at a show and some guy said something in the fucking audience. I was telling Akash about it. And he was just, I was saying some joke that was pretty offensive. I was talking about all, like, the Me Too stuff and how I'm not going to get caught up in that shit. And the guy was with his girl, just some fucking cuck in a cardigan and fucking corduroy pants and just this stupid fucking pussy. And he goes, not funny. Right? Everybody's laughing. He just waits for the silence. He goes, not funny. And he puts his, like, imp shrimpy arm around his girlfriend. And Indian girl, by the way, and I knew that would piss you off. And, white guy, Indian girl.
Of course.
So, but I thought about this shit. It's like, do these guys keep the same energy? Like, when they watch horror movies, are they like, you know, murder is not entertainment. You know what I mean? When they watch, like, one of these, like, creepy Danish.
Not okay.
Yeah, not okay. Like, you have to understand that it's the same playing field, right? Like, if you're okay with, we're drawn to the things that we're afraid of. Right? We're drawing things we fear. That's why we love watching gangster movies. You know what I mean? It's like the mafia is in so many ways so sexy because we're like, wait a minute. It's dangerous. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, now, should we not watch the movie because it's using violence and murder and rape for entertainment? Mm. No, we're going to still watch it. And with jokes, we should still be able to enjoy joke. Not like, criticizing you, but I'm saying the people take jokes, you know, the people that take jokes seriously.
You shouldn't hold comics to a different standard than you would have for regular people.
A film, especially, or something like that.
I've been trying to polish this joke forever and, like, really crack it. I can't get it exactly, but Game of Thrones is maybe the greatest show ever.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I watched season one, and I could not find a consensual sex scene in season one of Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Except when the brother is fucking his sister.
Yeah.
And somehow that's not only is that okay, that's the greatest show you've ever seen.
Television.
But a rape joke is, this guy shouldn't have a career.
So I have this this little, I don't know if it's a joke, but, you know, like, ideas that are in there, whatever. And how Game of Thrones represents everything the fans of Game of Thrones say they hate.
Mm. Yeah. Right?
So, like, Game of Thrones fans tend, not it's everybody, but tend to be, like, very liberal. Do you know what I mean? But perfect example is, you know, like, you know, sexual assault is wrong and all these things are wrong, but everybody's just getting raped in Game of Thrones. You know, Trump, how dare you build a wall? The fucking the wall. You know what I mean? Jon Snow's wall in Game of Thrones. He's keeping the wildlings out. Who are the wildlings supposed to represent? Those crazy people on the other side of the wall living like savages, huh? All I'm saying is it's in this TV show format, we're completely okay enjoying this kind of thing. And once you bring stuff into a comedy realm, I'm not saying politicians shouldn't be held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
They absolutely should, because what they're saying they believe is 100% real and true. You said this. It was brilliant. There's a difference between stand-up comedy and sit-down comedy. Because I was like, what the fuck? What happened to comedy? Yeah. Like, this is what we always used to say, this shit. And I was like, was it Jon Stewart? Did Jon Stewart fuck this up for all of us?
Wow, I never thought about it like that.
But, like, you know, Jon Stewart started using comedy as a device for his, like, real political views, you know, and not just saying funny shit. Like, Chris Rock, as political a comic as he is, when he said Hillary Clinton should be the first woman on her knees sucking that dick.
Yeah.
I don't really think that's what he believes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he understands infidelity can happen no matter how often your girl sucks her dick, you know? But I think John used comedy as a device, and all of a sudden, it started making comedy more real. Like, it was, like, factual, and we needed, like, to fight for
the
a call.
The Daily Show went from, like, okay, it's like
satirical.
A funny satirical thing to, like, oh, no, some people legitimately trust Jon Stewart over
as the news, fam.
Like, Katie Couric.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, he's a comic. But he
liked that. I think he liked that.
He loved it. He loved it, man. And, like, that, it kind of
John Oliver thinks that way.
It legitimized Comedy Central.
Facts.
Even more than, like, South Park did.
Way
it's
more,
like, dog. The, like, the alikes that came from the Daily Show, the Samantha Bees and the John Olivers and the Hasan Minhajs and like all these guys that got their what's the guy, Larry Wilmore, not Larry Wilmore, but he was around for a while. Yeah. But it's like,
of course,
the Daily Show really, yeah, it springboarded all these people to be these political commentary folks, but with comedy and shit like that. So it's like, It's a weird thing where it's like, yeah, we want to look at our comedy and take it as that, but at the same time, the world's so fucked up. What's the difference between a Samantha Bee and a, I don't know, fucking Coda or whatever the shit, whoever the bitch that hosts Today Show or whatever the shit. I don't know. Like, what's the real difference?
Hoda.
Hoda. Whatever. Hoda. I don't watch Soccer Mom TV. You know, like, what's the real difference? Like, one's funnier than the other. And like, yeah, sometimes they say some real shit. So, I don't know. It's crazy. It's, you know. I didn't mean to shit on you guys with the.
No. We weren't responding to you, dog.
We were responding to just what we got to deal with as comics and being held to this highest standard.
Yeah, man.
But that's the thing. There's a difference between the stand up shit and the sit down shit, bro. We out here to have fun. That's the agenda. My agenda is comedy.
Big facts.
You know, big facts. That's really what it comes down to.
Shout out to Joe Budden.
Yeah, for real.
Shout out to Joey, man.
Making money.
Congrats on
Go
the
get
deal,
it.
Bro.
Get your deal, bro. Make it happen. Revolt.
Hey, did anybody watch college football playoff?
I did actually. And there was one part, I mean, obviously, you know, I guess Georgia and Alabama, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
In the championship game. Mm. But one moment that I definitely wanted to talk about was the end of the game where I forgot the name of the linebacker on Georgia. But
Roquan Smith.
When he was shaking hands and Baker Mayfield shaking hands with the Georgia team, whatever. He's yelling at Baker Mayfield, humble yourself. Like, as he, they didn't just give up 50 fucking points.
Damn.
It's like, my dude, like, bro, this guy didn't just light you guys up with 40 plus points. I'm talking about
so fucking hard, man.
Relax.
Son, I thought the exact same thing.
I wanted to see Baker Mayfield in the Crimson Tide so bad. Yo. Like, I really wanted to see that, but. You know.
That guy good, the linebacker on?
He's good.
If it's
good.
Roquan, will he make the league? Roquan's really good.
Yeah. He'll be in that.
Yeah, he'll definitely make
round,
the league.
First round.
But
first round.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Pretty much a lock.
I was kind of low-key hoping that he was trash.
Trash. It would have been news if it was somebody that was trash.
Because like, it'd be really funny when Baker Mayfield walked into One Oak and he saw him at the door. And he was just like, humble yourself. Take that little red rope. Humble yourself and let me in. Thank you.
Yes, and I'm getting in with these shoes and this hat.
And these shorts.
We're not doing the shoes and hats today, bro.
All right, so what happens? We don't care about this. Do we care about the...
I mean, I just wanted Baker to win. I like to see
you. You want some personality in it, right?
Yeah.
The coaches are the most popular players in this... I don't even know who Georgia's coaches.
Saban and some young... apparently, is one of Saban's old assistants who coaches Georgia. So I guess that's the intrigue there. But ho-hum, we know Crimson Tide's going to win. They always win if they're in it. Unless they have like some... What's-his-face... Deshaun Watson type quarterback that they're going against, a Johnny Manziel type quarterback that they're going against. Like, Georgia doesn't really have that. They have a running game. It's tailor made for the Alabama to just run them over and overwhelm them with their defense. So,
why does a guy like Saban not coach in the NFL?
He did.
He wasn't good.
I mean, he was all right, but then he just left, which is why I still don't like him because he just wasn't honest. Like, reporters were asking him when the Alabama job opened up, are you going to be interested? And he was like, no. And then he, like, really dressed down one of the reporters. Like, I'm not interested in that job. Stop fucking asking me. And then he just left, like, I don't even think the season had ended. Mm. Maybe that was another college coach that did that.
Where was he coaching?
Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
So, okay, let me understand this. You have these people, college coaches that have immense success at a collegiate level and then just can't hack it at the pro level. And then you actually have the same thing.
Yeah.
The other way around.
Yeah.
Right? You have certain NBA coaches or certain professional coaches that just don't have the same exact success in the NFL.
Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator of the Patriots and went to coach at Notre Dame, I think.
Yeah. And then just couldn't hack it.
He had some decent years in Notre Dame, and then it was just like
super arrogant.
Went off the rails.
So what is it? What is the difference? What do you guys think?
I think it's more control, man.
Also, but recruiting is a big thing for college football.
What makes somebody such a great coach at one level and not so much at the other? That's what I'm...
To me, I always believed that coaching college kids and coaching grown men with actual lives is way different.
That's a great point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it's way easier to get some kids fresh out of high school and groom them
and mold them.
And yell at them and be hard on them.
It's a lot harder to do that.
These are pros making more than you.
Exactly. It's a lot harder to do that with a bunch of professionals that are millionaires.
And you're like, more replaceable than them.
Facts.
In the NFL,
If shit goes off the rails, we were just talking about it. If shit goes off the rails, the first person that has the role is the head coach. You know what I'm saying? In college, if the shit goes bad, we got to do more recruiting. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's an out.
Also, I think recruiting is a big deal. Because in the draft, you choose the players.
Mm-hmm.
And recruiting, in college, the players choose you.
Mm. Ooh.
True.
So that's a huge deal. True. Being a good recruiter is a huge thing in college.
Yeah.
I can't think of the guy's name right now. This is embarrassing. Tom Herman, he just went to UT. One of his biggest strengths was he's a great recruiter. You always hear that when a coach gets paid a ton of money. Jimbo Fisher, great recruiter. Pay him tens of millions of dollars to come here. I think his contract is like 5 years, $75 million, something crazy like that. And it's because of his recruiting ability.
And what does that mean?
You just go to these kids' houses and you charm them. Sell them. Yes, you sell them. Sell them on a dream. Sell them you'll get them to the NFL. Sell them this. You give them some money, I'm sure.
Enough.
Good amount of money on the low.
Yeah.
But they got to choose you. In the draft, you choose them.
And not for nothing. Like, there's a lot of programs, like Alabama being one of them, that's more prestigious than a lot of NFL jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you are the biggest, like, there's no, is there any pro teams in Alabama?
No, not really.
They're the biggest thing going in that state. He's the highest paid.
You are a superstar in
Alabama. He's a superstar. He's the highest paid employee in the entire state of that place. And it's like, if you've been to any of these big colleges that, like, are just multi-million dollar making machines.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that instead of and go to play for the coach the Dolphins or coach like the Buffalo Bills or coach some team that, like, you know, you're not the Patriots, you're not the Cowboys, you're not coaching this place that has like a huge history. That's why I see why Brad Stevens left the Butler. You know what I'm saying? When he was at Butler, it's like, yeah, you're killing it at Butler, but it's like you're going to the Boston Celtics.
Right. It's,
you
know, a major, like, it's yeah.
And the deep south, college football is bigger than pro football, I think.
Facts.
They love it more. Georgia, the Bulldogs, the whatever, they're, I think, bigger than the Falcons. Like, it just matters more. I can't explain it, but it matters more.
Yeah, why? I never understood that. Maybe it's because I grew up in New York with, like, the Knicks, but, like, I remember going through that point in time where I was deciding if I was going to like a college team.
Mm.
And this is when St. John's had a couple decent years. Barkley, what was his name? Eric Barkley. Eric Barkley was hooping there, and there's a few other guys here, and I was like, I guess I'll be a St. John's fan because I'm from New York, and that's what you do. And it didn't make sense to me. It was like, well, I don't go to the school. My dad didn't go to the school. Yeah. But in other parts of the country, it's completely normal if you grow up in the town of wherever Auburn is, that you, even if you didn't go to Auburn,
mm-hmm.
right?
You can be an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of the same way. You almost expected. I was kind of the same way. When I was growing up, I was a huge, like, North Carolina Tar Heels fan.
I was a Duke fan. It was like, we made a decision, though. But it was...
Yeah.
But your father went there or something like that? Your mother went there?
No, I just...
No connection.
None at all. I was like...
Jordan went there.
Jordan went there. That was my thing. Like, Jordan and Vince Carter went there. I was like, that school's awesome. They have cool jerseys. They got the cool shoes. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were always in the Final Four. Like... I like them.
Part of
were you like an A&M fan or some shit?
I tried to be a UT fan for a little bit, and I was like, if I'm not gonna go there, I'm not gonna be a fan. I felt weirdly embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
But again, you grow up in Louisiana, LSU is a big fucking deal. That's the team.
Mm-hmm.
More than the Saints, even. Mm-hmm. Saints matter, but I think LSU matters more to a lot of people.
Facts.
You know what it could also be? It's like in some of these towns, the town really is the school.
Yeah.
Like, your family works for the school, even if they didn't go.
But even if you're not in Tuscaloosa, where Alabama is,
you're still
a massive Alabama fan. Facts. In Huntsville or wherever.
Like, if you go to Austin, Texas, you see nothing but Longhorn shit.
Yeah.
If you go to where's Penn State College, you see nothing but Penn State shit. Like, I don't think people really understand how much these college towns are really towns. Like, that's all that's there.
Yeah.
Like, you go to, I mean, LA might be a little different because it's UCLA, but like, USC, when USC was USC.
Yeah.
Bro, they were a hotter ticket than the Lakers at some point.
I think it's still the football team of LA.
Yeah.
I lived out there for a few years, and USC was good, but it seemed like, I don't think that's why pro teams have a hard time surviving. The team is USC.
Yeah,
I guess it makes look a lot. You know, a lot of people believe in Jesus. Not all of them are from Nazareth. So I guess I guess it is possible.
I'm just a fan of Nazareth.
Yeah, it's just a good place. I grew up in Bethlehem. It's right down a block. You know, it's fun.
Oh man, fun times.
All right. So Avery Bradley, did you guys hear about his little sexual assault case?
Oh boy.
No, fuck. I didn't want to click. It was too much.
Well, okay. So here's the thing that was. So basically, what happens is a girl didn't even come out. The story was leaked in some way that like there was a sexual assault, and the girl had signed a non-disclosure agreement after Avery paid her some money. So they already had an agreement that we're not going to talk about this. Whatever happened, regardless if he did do it or he didn't do it, it doesn't matter because he came to an agreement with the girl. She wanted money.
Okay.
I imagine
hush money, I guess,
she wanted essentially hush money. He paid the hush money, and then later the story came
all
out.
Speculatory, by the way.
This is alleged. Yeah, this is no. Well, that part is factual.
Oh,
about the non-disclosure, and they've come out and say like this non-disclosure was not about him admitting guilt here. This was about not letting the story get leaked. And to be honest, I understand doing that because the second a story does get leaked, you're guilty in the court of public opinion. It's frightening. Like, I think about that myself. Like, if somebody would come to me and say, hey, you either give me this or I'm going to leak this story, and I was one of these big figures, you have to consider the options.
I heard a story that Bieber made a girl sign an NDA before. And I think that's what you do.
Oh, before he slept with her?
Yeah.
Oh, apparently Leonardo DiCaprio does that with every single girl. You come into the apartment, and there's a list you got to sign.
That's crazy.
Don't talk about it. Give me your phone.
But it's crazy, but like I get it. You know what I mean? Like
it's too much of a risk.
I think, and I'm really encouraging everybody to watch the Chappelle stand up because he talks about all this shit.
Yeah,
and it's like talking about imperfect allies and like, yeah, like it's hard being a woman right now at the same time, but like you gotta understand, like you have to be a little bit more understanding and just the way he worded it. I'm not gonna word it as perfectly
as genius,
he did,
dude.
But it's just like, dog, like. At some point in time, yes, we understand that it's hard being a woman and all this other stuff and with Me Too, everything happening going on. But like, you got to understand, like, there are some people, there are some women who will use that to their advantage.
Right.
And like, to pretend that that doesn't exist is only hurting the people that is really happening to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, if somebody wants to have an NDA and do all stuff to protect themselves, like they should be perfectly within their right and they shouldn't be guilty in the court of public opinion before any real facts come out.
Yeah.
But it's so touchy and it's so hard to really articulate. I really, anybody who listens, I really hope you guys watch that stand up and just the way he worded it.
We'll try to watch that next week. We'll talk about it next week, man.
Facts. Yeah.
I mean, well, basically, the thing that when I read the story, it happened in Cleveland during the Eastern Conference Finals, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a feeling that it happened in Cleveland because if it happened in Boston, it wouldn't have been a sexual assault. It would just been an assault. Because, he went right up to the judge and said, Your Honor, there is nothing sexual about this. This happened in Boston, and the girls here are gross. But apparently it did happen in Cleveland. And it's just one of these things where it's like, I wonder if athletes should start sharing what they go through with women. Because I think that they've been very polite athletes.
Okay.
Athletes don't really share the side.
A Me Too sports page?
Well, they don't really share this like their side of a Me Too, which is, I slept with this girl and then she took a roofie after I slept with her. This happens all the time. I've spoken to athletes' lawyers. Yeah. They take a roofie after and they'd be like, you roofied me. What do you mean? What are you talking about? We didn't even drink tonight. There's no way to, like, so these are things that are constantly happening to athletes. Girls will find out their hotel room, sneak their way into the hotel, sleep with the guy at the hotel desk just so her and her friend could get led up to the hotel room, knocking on the door. Hey, can I come in? Like the intense, like, I don't want to say they're victims, but what I'm saying is there are a certain amount of women that are seeking, that are hunting these athletes. Mm-hmm. And this is a real thing that happens. They're taking advantage of them.
And we're not trying, and I understand that we're probably not trying to, you're not trying to victim blame. You're not trying to like say it's
not
anybody's fault at all. But like, I just think we will be doing ourselves a disservice if we're not acknowledging that this shit exists.
It exists in a world, and there's nuance to every situation.
Exactly.
Every single situation. So, for example, and I'm not justifying anything, but if you have an athlete who is used to women literally throwing themselves at him, right? It's not surprising that he might feel like women do want to be with him. Very similar to when Kesha tried to hug Seinfeld. Right? Kesha said, hey, can I hug you? And just went in, didn't even ask. He said, no thanks. And then she went again. Now, this is because for the last probably 15 years of Kesha's life,
everyone's just like,
anybody that she wanted to hug,
she got to hug,
would have hugged her back.
Yeah.
So imagine you're an NBA athlete and you see a girl at a bar or something like that, or out there at the table, and you just walk up and you just put your arm around her, or you put your arm on her knee. Hey, how you doing? Or something like that. Not even sexually or anything like that. To that girl, that might be like, why do you think you can do that? But you have to realize every girl that this guy's met for the last, not him personally, but a hypothetical athlete have met for the last 5 years has been begging for him to touch.
It still doesn't
make warps. I'm not saying, listen, again, we're not talking about justifications, but we're talking about, like, you know when dictators start to act funky? Like, every dictator starts out good, right? That with the right idea. No dictator goes, I want to be a bad guy. You know what I mean? Everybody has the good intentions planned for the people, but then you live a life where that is so different than us that we can understand. We're talking about big marquee athletes here. It's a very different existence. And like you said, without acknowledging it and totally understanding what these people go through, what they're constantly going through it all the time. Like, you and I and Akash, we're on social media. We have girls send naked pictures to us. We're not max contract athletes. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a different world for these guys.
It's not about what's right or what's wrong. It's just like,
it's just acknowledging that these things exist. And
then maybe knowing that you can talk to them differently about how to approach women in general. Like, yo, I know some girls do this, but you can't do that to every girl. Or whatever it is. You can use that as a tool, is what you're going to say.
And the worst thing about it is, like, I think a lot of these athletes, they don't understand that. They don't understand that until it's too late. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's probably why... You mentioned before, they can't have like their own version of a Me Too where they tell the story because they don't know the story.
They don't know what's going on.
Like, they don't know that this is happening to them until it's too late. Whereas, like, now they got to be reactive instead of proactive. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I'm not saying
most athletes. Here's an interesting.
You're not blaming victims. Let's make that very clear. And I think everybody who listens to this podcast kind of understands who we are and our sensibility, and they know that that's not what we're about right here. All I'm trying to say is, imagine that you have girls knocking on your hotel room door at 5 a.m. that you've never met, trying to come in. Every girl that's ever come back to your hotel room as an athlete, right, or even an entertainer or something like that, has had sex with you, tried to have sex with you, etc., had brought their friends, had sex with you. This happens, and then you have a girl or two in your hotel room, right? And you get naked because you're like, yo, I thought we're having sex. And they're like, what are you doing? We're just hanging out. Now you're the weirdo, or you've been conditioned to think that's what happens at 5 in the morning.
The way I would think to put it is like, Macaulay Culkin is got a fucked perception of things, right? Because he grew up as the most famous 8-year-old in the world at one point in his life.
Right.
Now, that doesn't make anything illegal he does okay. You just kind of understand he got fucked up from a young... And an athlete's the same kind of thing. Like, from a young age, girls have been trying to fuck this guy. He's had money thrown at him. He's had people with not his best interest in mind. So nothing he does as illegal is okay, but he's lived a different life than the rest
of us. It's... And we acknowledge this on some level. Like, for example, George Clooney and Brad Pitt can be way more flirtatious than fucking Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can. Paul Giamatti gets a little flirtatious, and all of a sudden, maybe it's creepy. Brad Pitt and George Clooney are so charming.
Yeah, it's charm when it's somebody attractive.
Right? Like, it's just, and we'd like to paint everything as if it's the exact same slate, but the reality
we just got to acknowledge, especially when it comes to these athletes or these people of influence, that there is nuance to everything.
Everything.
Not everything is black and white. It still doesn't make what any of these people do right or wrong, but we just need to acknowledge that there are certain circumstances that make things different than other things. Like, Matt Lauer he had a fucking rape door in his room. Like, he had a button that he would press and shut. Okay, that's a bit much, Matt Lauer. You don't need the fucking rape door.
First of all, like, work for some pussy. Just walk to the door and lock it, like, you lazy fuck. That's what bothers me the most. You're about to come.
It's like you can't take six steps. Like, really? And, like, the nuance is and, like, the.
Literally, Dr. Evil has the exact same thing, like, on his desk.
Yeah, come on, like, that is too fucking much. Like, relax. But it's
but how crazy is it? We're even uncomfortable talking.
Even
about
talking about it, like, because I know it's gonna happen.
You know the cost.
I know the cost.
There's
yeah.
we tax conversation now. There is a cost to even converse about this. Yeah. We're just throwing ideas out there in the world. None of these ideas right now are the end all be all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in order to find solutions to a problem, you have to, one, be able to acknowledge it, and two, be able to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if we can't even discuss it because we're so weird that one person is go, I can't believe that in this sentence, if you take it out of context, he said the victims, blah, 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 blah.
The funny thing is, if we don't sit there and acknowledge it, something worse happens. You know what I mean? Like, it's always, because for every action, there's a reaction. You hear that a million times in whatever you talk about. But if people are afraid to acknowledge certain nuances about certain situations, there's going to be that one person that comes back later, maybe not now, maybe not in a year or two, that doesn't give a fuck about that. And that person is worse than all these motherfuckers. Trump. You know, that's how Trump happens.
Boom.
That is how Trump happens, dog. Boom. It's like, oh, we thought Bush was bad? Look at this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just about just putting it out there and just living in truth and just being, just acknowledge that there is nuance to every single situation. Not everybody is fucking just good or bad or evil or not. Like, it's just a conversation. And I just hope that we can be a little less, you know, afraid to have conversation.
Sure.
In this,
let's be objective.
Coming here, that's what Flagrant 2 is all about. God damn it!
Is rape?
Not rape. Oh. It's not about rape. It's about having uncomfortable conversation. Yeah,
exactly. Honestly,
God damn it!
Every little, every program that I'm on, that I consider myself a part of, I want to have that exact. I want to have that exact almost mission statement,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Like, let's have this freedom to have conversations. You know, I tend to surround myself with pretty objective people.
Mm,
right, yeah. Like people I can have hard conversations with. I don't like to stifle myself, and I do admit that it is tough when you have an audience. You have thousands of people. There's going to be some people that get offended,
and the one person that gets offended sticks with you more than the people who. Yeah. It's human nature.
The one person.
The one. How dare you say this? You're like, yo, am I that? This is a character. Fuck this. Yeah. They really assassinate your character and it fucks with you. But yeah,
just know nobody is getting raped or sexually assaulted because of a conversation. That doesn't happen. Okay. Yeah. Nobody goes, oh, I like what they were talking about, I'm going to go do that. Nobody hears a joke and goes, oh, that was a joke about rape, I'm going to go rape.
Right.
Those people that do those things do them independently from the podcast that they listen to or the conversations that they have. So we have these conversations and hopefully everybody lives in a more safe environment.
It's one of those things where, like, if you listen to this show and you think it's okay to, like, touch people inappropriately because you heard us say a joke, this show isn't for you.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and you thought that before this show.
Yeah. Let's keep it very real. The fucking show.
You had some issues.
You call that confirmation bias?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
All right. 100%. Let's talk. We haven't talked playoffs yet at all. NFL playoffs.
God damn.
We're an hour and a half in. We're finally getting the NFL playoffs.
All right. Go.
Who do y'all just want to pick winners or what you think? Who you think is going to make it out of each round? Also, who you think deserves MVPs, Rookie of the Year?
I got a good feeling about the Steelers. I think the Steelers would do.
I had a good feeling about the Steelers too. I think that loss in New England really hurt them.
Yeah,
because going to New England is going to be tough.
Is AB playing?
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's usually you ever notice
he'll be back for that game. I bet
you need. I think AB will be back for first week of the playoffs. But when the Patriots lose, it's always to a team that they beat early in the year.
Interesting.
Like usually, like late in the week, like late in the season. Like I remember both Giants Super Bowl victories, They beat the Giants earlier that season. You know what I'm saying? They always come back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they mashed them or whatever. Like, it was like, oh, it was competitive. Okay. Yeah. Like, if they get to, and mind you, it might be different because, like, it's two different divisions and, you know, it won't be on a neutral playing field if they play each other again. It'll be in Foxborough.
Right.
But I don't think Foxborough is the fucking... You're not winning in here place it used to be. You know what I'm saying? I feel like when you have offense like the Steelers and the defense like the Patriots, which isn't super, you know what I mean, demanding like it used to be. It's not as dominant as it used to be. But, like, I believe, like, a guy like Juju, I think a healthy AB, Le'Veon Bell, they're starting to run him more and use him in more stuff like they should have been last year when they played the Patriots and they should have beat him. I think the Steelers are due, man. This is one Patriots team that hasn't scared me like past Patriots teams. Right. Like, they look good, but they're not like dominant. They don't scare me. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I thought that last year too, though.
And then exactly.
Did Harrison get signed to be a snitch?
Yes, 100%.
Would he do it?
Yes, 100%.
Really?
Yo, apparently this guy was like. He wrote a letter that I haven't read telling his side of the story, but he was like falling asleep and snoring during team meetings. He was really upset they didn't have him starting. Salty about that. And he's like, he said something in a statement that I saw a clip of, like, I don't want to participate to get a participation trophy. Right. Put me on the field or just don't have me on your team. Yeah. He wanted off the Steelers. And when he got off and the Patriots signed him, I'm positive he knew what he was getting into, and I'm positive he's okay with
it. So what do they do? Do they just flat out say, hey, tell us the plays, tell us the defensive schemes. What are the ethics to that?
This is what the Patriots do, and there are no ethics. They always find the space where there are no ethics, and they exploit that.
After all this time, now the Patriots are going to be the beacon of doing the right thing.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they do that, but like, I'm just concerned, like, should the Steelers be concerned? Like, you have a playbook that now can be handed over to the Patriots. How can you possibly
beat
the Patriots?
And he's been on the team for 15 years or whatever. Like, he knows. He's not some guy that just got there. He knows the system.
So how do the Steelers have a chance?
I don't think it's a plays thing, man. Like, I think it's... When you play a team as much as you play each other, like, you know what the other team does.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a personnel thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's more of like, I was lifting with this dude every week. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not this. He's not that. Like, I think they got more for personnel. Not for like, oh.
Who's injured, who's working.
Yeah, like who's real, like, you know what I'm saying? He's literally just been sitting there collecting dust all season. Like, he's been, in many cases, like, probably a mole for them right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not really, he didn't really play a lot of teams. Like, you know, and that's what gives you that edge. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what gives you the edge in the
NFL.
That's
why the Patriots are great, man. I don't hate on it. That's what makes them great.
It's illegal. They didn't do nothing illegal.
They're like the businessman who always finds a legal way to make billions of dollars. And they might get in the gray area if you leave the illegality, whatever, but they're always winning in corporate America.
Makes a lawyer just
that's
go,
Belichick.
Terrible.
Yeah.
They'll win legally, but not ethically.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
MVPs, Jesus. NFL.
Oh, man, come on.
You know how I said it earlier, and I think I'm sticking with it. They didn't make the playoffs. There's no way he wins, but Russell Wilson, to me, he carried that fucking team.
Carried him to what?
He did.
True. You going Brady?
I do think he was the most valuable, but I don't. They can't give it to a guy.
Yeah.
Got to be Brady. Or AB. I mean, AB.
I wouldn't be mad at AB.
Yeah, that's a possibility,
He would be the first wide receiver to win it, right? Isn't that what they were saying?
Yeah. Nah. Would he? Maybe.
He might be.
I don't know.
He might be.
Oh, no. Was it Todd Gurley would be the running back to win it? One of them would be the first in their position.
Todd Gurley is also a possibility. Apparently, it's really down to him and Brady. That's really the two it's coming down to.
Put it this way. Are we doing the same thing with the NBA MVP award? Are we looking for someone else to give it to? Because the fatigue? The MVP
fatigue?
Yeah,
we got voter fatigue.
Clearly, it's Brady.
Yeah.
They're the team to beat. He's playing phenomenally.
I think it kind of fell into his hands because I think like Carson Wentz had it sewed up before he got hurt.
Yo.
You know what I mean? I think, I think Carson Wentz still leads the league in touchdowns. He hasn't played in four weeks.
My man tore his ACL and threw a touchdown. Yo, he threw as many touchdowns after he tore his ACL as Dak did from that same moment. Crazy that is.
That's a crazy stat. That's a real stat though. Yeah, man. I think that's sad. Fuck it. I think let's just give it to Carson Wentz. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Wow.
Why not?
I mean, I'm gonna go Brady probably. Gurley is up there, but I just think, well, I gotta look up Brady's exact stats. I'm gonna do that right now, but his stats are obnoxious.
Yeah.
Just obnoxious. Yeah. Who you got going to the
What about
NFC?
Gronk?
Gronk? I read a lot about that.
So Bleacher, I think, put Bleacher it out with Sims, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you can give him more detail.
Yeah, they
than
said
I
Brady's
can.
Not the real MVP. They said Gronk is. Like, yeah. Gronk is the guy who's really carried that team.
And they broke it down statistically, right? Yeah. It was something about like his Brady's offensive efficiency without Gronk.
Yeah, it absolutely. Just Gronk's presence on the field is only comparable to AB's as right. far as like as when he's on the field, the gravity, I guess people, that's like the hot word to use, the gravity that you have in the game. Whereas like, even if you're not catching the ball,
motherfuckers are drawn to you.
You are clearing the spots for fucking like Rex Burkhead to have fucking career seasons. And what's the guy that got Brandon Cooks?
Yeah.
And like Brandon Cooks ain't no scrub, but it's like you have a tight end that's dominant, that big, that blocks, that does everything for you, that scores, that leads the league in touchdowns or one of the league leaders in touchdowns every year. Like, he's one of the biggest reasons why Brady's playing deep into his 40s. You know what I mean? Like, he is the safety blanket. Everybody's quarterback, everybody's safety blanket is the tight end. And if you have the best tight end by far in the NFL, like, and it's not close, you're going to be good. You give me an offensive line and a pass catching tight end that's always going to be on single coverage. And you can't double team a tight end, because if you double team a tight end,
bye,
I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you got guys on the outside that are wide open to getting single coverage, and Brady's going to get it.
That's the other thing. Brady is accurate enough to get it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's Gronk's got a case as well as being MVP. So
why not throw it at Gronk?
He can't after the. After the, you know.
Oh, the intentional.
After hit somebody with the Chris Benoit headbutt.
man, I'm a little crazy.
I'm like, dog, you can't do that, bro. Like, you get him on the field, you can't just fucking spear your head into somebody's skull.
That was a little dangerous.
That's a little frowned upon, even in the NFL. Like, they're like, oh, you know.
All right, fuck it. I'm going to give it to Gronk.
All right, good on you.
You got Brady?
Yeah, I think I'm going to.
And then you got
Brady.
Who?
I'm still giving it to Carson Wentz. Fuck it. Because fuck Brady.
Right. Carson Wentz. Okay, here's my question. Akash told me right before we started recording this podcast.
Real quick, though. Super Bowl.
Oh, yes, sir. Go.
Super Bowl.
Go.
I don't know. I think it's going to be Patriots and Vikings.
That's my pick, too.
I think the Vikings could win that. Because, first of all, they got a defense that can get to Brady, and that's the thing that fucks him up the most. Second of all, if they go to the Super Bowl, it's a home game. For the first time in history,
I forgot.
It's a
Super Bowl in Minnesota.
In Minnesota,
damn, I forgot.
We trying to go there. Who's sending us?
Make it happen.
Who's sending us, baby?
Make it happen.
Nah, man, that's a shit. I forgot this is a Minnesota dude.
It would be so dope to
quietly,
see.
Quietly,
and Case
quietly balling this entire.
It's pretty similar to the Giants' blueprint.
Yeah,
great defense.
Good enough quarterback.
Yeah. Not going to make Eli will make costly interceptions, but he's a good enough quarterback. Strong run game. And by the way, they've lost their starting and backup quarterback. Mm. I think they lost their rookie running back because Dalvin Cook was having a great year. He went down. Right. And they're still 14-2, 13-3, whatever it was.
Defense, baby.
Defense and just resilience. Mike Zimmer's a beast. He's coach of the year to me.
Quiet.
Quiet
13-2 record.
Yeah.
Defense wins championships, man. I got the I like that Vikings pick, man. I'm gonna go Viking Steelers.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Viking Steelers. I don't think they'll be good enough to win in the at home. I think the Steelers take it. I think this
NFC playoffs are also much more competitive than AFC playoffs in terms of like top to bottom. Every team, Carolina could do it, and they're like the 5 seed.
I like the Rams too, man.
Rams look good. Like Saints look good. Falcons are the defending champs, so you can't really count them out.
Yeah.
Hmm. One through six, all of them got a shot.
Right now, like, I like the Saints. Like it's a loaded.
That's
NFC.
Right. The Saints. We're completely forgetting about the Saints.
Yeah, I remember week three. I made fun of how they draft, and they have the defensive and offensive rookie of the year. Right,
Kamala.
Alvin Kamara.
Kamara.
I think it's between like him and Juju for rookie of the year.
Yeah, could be. I think Kamara gonna get it, but it's either one of them. I think they could have both.
It's crazy.
And they got a good, they got running game, they got a defense. Yeah, exactly, right?
We should do at the end of the year a list of all the things all we the got wrong. All the wrong
shit. Exactly. There's a lot of research.
No other sports show does that shit.
You got to own it, man.
We're going to own all of our wrongs. Like when we called Chris Paul the what's it called of the NBA earlier in the year.
We killed Chris Paul. Oh, another person who we killed.
The French Montana. French Montana NBA. That was it. Now the motherfucker is undefeated when he's playing. Yeah.
Speaking of somebody we were wrong about.
Who?
Motherfucking our favorite player in the NBA, Austin Rivers.
Yo, Austin Rivers been cooking.
Yeah,
That's on us.
100% facts. Yeah. That's super facts right there. Patriots. Patriots in the Super Bowl, easy. And I just really don't care. But I'm excited to go, and I think it'll be a great experience.
Yeah. NFC, who you got in the NFC?
I don't even know who's in that shit. Cleveland. I got Cleveland. So, I guess it would be... the Vikings. I honestly haven't been watching enough to like give you a good response on it, but like, yeah, sure.
All right, bet.
Fuck it.
Fair enough.
All right, man.
Sure, Vikings. Here's one thing that I will like to talk about football before we get out of here. So Cleveland goes, a lot of coaches got fired just right now.
Yeah.
Or retired. Maybe they were forced to retire, but we're talking about like what, four or five? Fox is out. For Bruce Chicago, Bruce Arians retired, but maybe he was asked to retire.
Pagano overdue firing.
Pagano's gone.
Motherfucker need to get cancer again to get into the
Christ.
I'm not wishing it upon him.
Christ.
I'm just saying
it's hard to win without your franchise quarterback.
Save us.
I'm not saying he should have it. I'm just saying the best season they had, he got cancer, stepped away. Bruce Arians stepped in.
And then they were cooking.
They were cooking.
Yeah.
Well, who else? There was another major one that I'm forgetting. McAdoo got fired. Del Rio gets fired. I mean, like all over the place.
Yeah,
Cleveland goes 0-16.
Second time
in history that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
goes 0-16. Hugh Jackson still has a job. Where is the justification for keeping him?
They're Sam Hinkie. The Browns are
trust the process.
The Browns are trusting the process. Real talk. They collected, they hoarded draft picks. They literally
they
said.
Got the first and the fourth pick this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's number good one enough. And number four. And then I think they got 2 second rounders, maybe three.
Yeah.
They literally said to Houston last year when they signed, who's the quarterback from the fucking Broncos that they signed?
Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, yeah. They signed him with that horrendous contract. They said, trade that contract to us, just give us a second round pick.
Hmm.
Took him. I'm pretty, they cut him. They don't care. They got their second round pick from the Houston Texans.
Oh, that's, I mean, it's, I don't think the Browns are that far off, man.
So they basically told Hugh Jackson, hey, you're going to lose this year.
Yeah.
We're not going to blame you.
Yeah. Right.
Next year is your shot, and we'll judge you based on what you do with some talent.
Next year, maybe the year after, because you got to give those rookies time to develop into something.
So they're committed to Hugh.
I guess so.
Yeah, man. I think they're trusting the process, man. Yeah. I think
they weren't getting really like hammered by teams. They lost a couple close games,
but for the
they
most
got Josh
part,
Gordon
they were
back.
Fun.
Josh Gordon's just as good as he left, which is amazing to me.
Insane.
They got Saquon Barkley's out there. Josh Rosen's out there. You got the first and the fourth.
You're getting your franchise quarterback.
You're gonna get
whether or not he's gonna be good. I don't know.
They've had their franchise quarterback for like the last 4 years.
Absolutely, it's the Browns are gonna brown. They're the Clippers of the NFL. But. This is the route they went with. They hired analytics dudes who just said, we want draft picks. That's what leads to wins.
Oh, okay.
So they just hoarded draft picks for those 2 years. They had a bunch of draft picks last year, a bunch of draft picks this year that are even better.
Right.
And let's see what happens. Now I think in 2 years it's going to be like, all right, we need to see something for real.
All right, let's see. Fair enough. I just didn't understand where they got off keeping
now,
this coach.
Let me ask
around.
You this. The Raiders are about to make an offer. They fired Del Rio, about to make an offer to John Gruden.
That's right, yes.
Reported they might offer him ownership stake.
Okay. That changes the game for
would change the game. The one thing, so let's assume for a second, because it has to get approved by the other owners.
Which they'll definitely say no.
But yeah, I think they'll definitely say no because that's an insane precedent to send. But if they didn't, how much are you throwing at Belichick?
I mean, that's... So, two questions. One, you just got to throw the house at Belichick, right?
10% would be, if you're the Cowboys, $400 million.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But here's the question. When you get fired, what happens?
I don't think it goes away.
So now, how many times can you offer a percentage to a coach?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. The Raiders are doing this because they're moving to Las Vegas and they're trying to just generate some kind of interest.
Yeah.
Same reason the Rams traded for the number one pick and drafted Jared Goff, because mm-hmm. he's an LA guy. Let's just let's get some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And going to Vegas, you need some kind of something. But I don't, you got to really do it carefully.
I don't know, man.
I don't think so. I don't think the other owners will go for it. Why would you give
I don't
piece
think they
equity?
Would. If it's... they did, it would be really interesting the rest of our NFL lives.
Oh, is true. Gruden that good to where you give him a piece?
I don't think he's
don't
that
think he
good.
Is, honestly.
I don't think I don't know how great he is, to be honest.
He's a good face. He's a good face if that's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, to want to put his face on the billboard in Vegas.
Oakland's last Super Bowl run was his team, though.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he went and took Tony Dungy's team and then beat that Oakland team in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he's had those ESPN joys, those Gruden camps all.
Love that. Those are great.
Really good. Yeah. And, you know, he's one of the few, like, not for nothing, like, he's one of the few NFL coaches, like, you know immediately by face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's a name, man. So I could see them doing that, but it'd be really interesting to see how other NFL coaches, you know, treat that. Just like quarterbacks. Like, they see what a good quarterback gets. It's like, oh, okay, well,
that's
what
I need now.
Yeah. It's a dangerous precedent. There's no way owners only care about money right now.
Facts.
I mean, if that's the case for the coach, what about the player? If I'm LeBron, I want a piece.
LeBron deserves to own a piece of the Cavaliers, goddamn it.
Of course.
He deserves, but anyway, man.
All right, guys. That was fun.
Before we wrap it up, I think we'd be remiss to say, rest in peace to the legendary Reggie Ossé.
Oh, my God, of course.
Combat Jack, one of the founders of Loudspeakers Network, one of my mentors growing up. Really, really big gut punch to everybody in the city this year to lose him. So, shout out to his family. Shout out to his kids, his wife, Kim. New York really lost a real legend. And, this one's dedicated to him, so... You know, like he would always say, dream those dreams. And, because life isn't technicolor and surround sound. So, you know, life without dreams isn't black or white. I probably fucked up that quote, but hopefully he'll forgive me. real sad. It was a real tough holiday season to have to go through that. So we'll continue to do this for you, Combat. And, thanks for creating this network that, we host this podcast under. So,
yes, sir.
Shout outs to you.
Well done. Thank you guys so much for listening. Is there anything you guys want to plug?
Oh, man. No. It's a new year. Yeah. We'll have something to plug soon. We got a show. Shit, Highline Ballroom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We do have a show.
What's the date of it?
It's February 7th. Highline Ballroom. Get your tickets on ticketweb.com, highlineballroom.com. Let's pack that bitch out with all the assholes in New York City.
That's right.
We got a lot of surprises for that as well. And we'll have something big to announce fairly soon. So,
We're excited about some things to announce. Akash, you gotta
Go to the live show. Go get the tickets right now.
Get them tickets, baby.
I gotta go to. I have a couple shows coming up that I have to reschedule. There were ones in Rochester and DC because I'm gonna go shoot a film in.
Shit,
thank you. Yeah, in Pittsburgh. I'm gonna be in Pittsburgh, so maybe I'll try to. Yeah, man, Pittsburgh would have home field advantage, right?
Unless, the first round, divisional round,
right. So if there's any fans in Pittsburgh, man, holler at me. Let me know what I should be doing out there because I'll be out there for a few weeks in January. So holler, and then we'll reschedule the DC and Rochester dates. But the rest of my dates are available at theandrewschultz.com for my stand up shows. So make sure you go check that out. We just add some more, and thank you guys for supporting, man. This is Flagrant 2, No Easy Buckets, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Later.
Bless.